Welcome to the VIP Experience Podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health and personal development. I am your host, Vipin Farkya. So guys, we have with us Dr. Cecilia Chatia, and we are going to talk about different types of parenting techniques, how you should behave with your child as a parent, what are bad parenting techniques, of course. So first of all, I think we should start with something like, what is an ideal parent or a caregiver for you?
So there is no ideal parent, just like there is no ideal child, because there is no ideal human being.
Yeah.
Everyone is flawed, and parenting is one of those particularly difficult tasks because it comes without a manual. There are handed down procedures, but they differ from generation to generation. As a species, we may have biologically evolved, but psychologically and socially, we are still evolving. So none of the processes are 100% valid all the time across all cultures for all kids. So I think ideal parenting is something we can aspire to, but we should be okay with not being ideal.
Yeah. Like as you mentioned, like it doesn't come up with a manual, right? I've seen people saying things like, we read all these books and the child came, and we don't know if those things apply. Like it's different for every parent, every environment, right?
Correct. See, every parent was a child once.
Yeah.
So every parent approaches this task of parenting with the lens of the baggage they've been carrying. So if I've had very strict parents, I'm going to probably go the opposite direction and say, I will never raise my hand on a child.
Oh.
That may not be the best way to go about parenting.
Yeah.
The context in my case may have been different, and the context for my child is going to be different.
Yeah.
So past experience can be a guide, but not necessarily the best teacher.
Yeah.
So parents will be different, and they have to be open to the idea that what is said in the books, what is said in these various parenting seminars, again, they're guides. They can probably provide us inputs in areas we know nothing about. But the final decision on whether it is most suitable for our child or no, for every parent, I believe, comes from the heart. There is no better guide than what your heart tells you.
Oh, that's great. So being a psychiatrist, being a doctor, have you seen like what kind of cases do you see in only in terms of parenting, like parent having issues with the child? Have you ever gotten a case where the child comes to you saying that, I don't have any idea, but have you gone, like what kind of people do you get?
So I'm a psychologist, so I don't prescribe medicines, that's what psychiatrists do. So as a psychologist, I take care of what is called as therapy or counseling, as it is more commonly known. And it'll be, it might surprise you to know that when I meet even adults who are 40 or 50 years of age, and we are discussing supposedly very adult issues, the source of these adult issues can be traced back to a lot of childhood experiences. So the predominant figures in our childhood are our parents, or the parent-like figures are caregivers. So if the parenting has been even a bit dysfunctional, distorted, or not very healthy for me, it's going to color my worldview for the rest of my life. And I may end up becoming this very intelligent, very knowledgeable, and very literate person who travels the world. But there will be a hangover from my childhood days. So how much does parenting have an impact? It's immense. It's huge. You know, all of us have voices in our head at some point of time.
Exactly.
Sometimes we think it's just us telling ourselves something. But if you sit back and think about it, a lot of it are the voices from your childhood. So some of the clients that I see are young adults who are having conflicts with their parents. True, those are the ones there. There are some parents who don't know how to handle their kids. And I must say that the parents are quite motivated in trying to give the best to their child. They want to know more. They want to understand more. But the kind of clients that I see, I come from what is called as a psychoanalytic tradition, where I believe a lot of who you are today can be traced back to your childhood. So which is why my therapy and my consulting is colored by that view. So most of my clients have some starting point in the parenting that they have received. And when I mean parenting, it need not be only the mom and dad. It can be a significant caregiver in what is called the first formative years of a child's life, that is between the ages of 0 to 6.
0 to 6.
Yes.
Yeah. So talking about
parenting again. So let's discuss about types of parents that we see, the way they, since you talk about the impact that the parents can leave, certain things that they say might not be too big for them, but are too big for their child. Some things can, child can keep some things with them forever, and you know, the voice in his head is repeating the things that his parents used to say. So let's talk about those. Like, what kind of parents do you see? Like, what kind of issues, specific issues that you see?
So parenting technically gets broadly classified into four categories. Okay. One is the what we call the authoritarian parenting. Overly strict, overly disciplined, high on discipline, low on the love and the warmth. Okay. Then you have the authoritative parents who are high on the love and high on the discipline, which means they've managed to pull off the balance.
Yeah.
Then you have the permissive parents who are high on love and low on the discipline part.
Hmm.
I see a lot more of those. And there is one more category, which is the neglectful parents, which is not high on love or on the discipline.
Yeah.
So we often talk about kids who are spoilt brats.
Yeah.
Let's remember, children are not born with any attribute, whether spoilt or unspoilt.
Mm.
Something happens along the way before you can assign those labels to them.
Yeah.
And that something frequently, not always, but frequently, is the parenting. Sometimes you may have a great mom and a not so great dad. The reverse may also happen.
Okay.
So in that case, the type of parenting is, I don't know, there is no ideal authoritative parenting, which is the balance between discipline and warmth and love. Yeah. That's considered textbook format. That's considered the ideal. I think a healthy parent is one who can recognize that she has brought a life into this world, and anything you say or do can and will be held against you. You never know when something, you know, I may just have had, as a mom, I may have had a bad day at work. I come home, kids have made a mess in the house, and I may just yell at the child.
Yeah.
Understandable. Afterwards, I'll apologize, make up, and the child will also understand. Mm. Even the child may not realize this, but years later, then these children come up and during therapy, they are now adults and they say, you know what, once my mom did this and it felt so bad.
Yeah.
And the child, over a period of time, has learned to rationalize it and said, okay, I understand why she did it, but you know what, it hurts.
Okay.
I'll give you a very simple example.
Yeah.
One of my clients yesterday I spoke to, she's quite accomplished in her own right, in her chosen field.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about this time when she went for an audition. And she didn't seem very confident on stage.
Yeah.
And her mom kind of, after she finished, gave her a sound, gave her a earful saying, why couldn't you be more confident?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you, you know, just go up there and do your stuff? Look at the other girls.
Yeah.
And this girl had, this lady now, had put this out of her memory.
Yeah.
It's, you know, buried in the dark corners of her mind.
Hmm.
But after the first session with me, suddenly this memory came back to her. And then she realized that she was crying about it. It hurt her. It upset her. And the manifestation of that event today in her life is that she's very, very driven, very, very ambitious. She always wants to prove herself, doesn't want to not be an achiever.
Oh.
I'm not
don't
saying it's just...
Don't want to take a break with something.
Exactly. And I'm not saying it is just this one event that has made her into what she is, but a series of similar events with the mother.
It just keeps building up when your parent is trying to put you down. But from their point of view, it's like they're trying to push you up, right?
Yeah,
they want you to be better.
They want you to be better. And also, they don't realize that it's hurting you so much. They think that, but I was just doing what was normal, what was right. You were just feeling shy, and by me pushing you, you got more confident.
Yeah.
So,
there's a big balance between pushing up and pushing way too down, right?
Huh. And I don't think anyone is thinking of it as that parent is ever thinking that I'm pushing them down. They think they're doing their dutifully appointed job as parents.
Yeah, as you mentioned, like authoritarian, like people can't, people assume that if you're too disciplined, if you give them love, then they won't be disciplined, right? I think this is one of the biggest issues that I've seen a lot of children face, right? If you are disciplining a child, you can't give them love at the same point of time. So how do parents find that balance where they want to be strict in this day and age where children are so distracted with so much? And they want to, parents really want a child to be disciplined. But how do they make the balance between discipline and love?
So I think a good starting point would be to understand what are you trying to discipline your child about.
Okay.
If you're trying to build your child towards being a better human being,
yeah.
you don't really need to discipline.
Yeah.
You don't need to teach the child don't lie, because unless you teach the child the concept of a lie, honesty comes naturally.
Yeah.
Children are usually afraid. That's when yeah. they make mistakes, when they hide things from their parents, when they get less marks, or when they've had a fight.
Yeah.
And if they're taught how to manage their emotions, what we call emotional regulation,
okay.
and how to deal with conflict as in, or discord as in, when it happens, the child doesn't necessarily need to be disciplined.
Yeah.
When does discipline come in? I'm also an educationist, and yet I will say this, that a huge challenge has come our way because of the education system.
Okay.
Because we are training our kids from the time they are a year and a half to 2 years old. From that time, you're training them to be part of the rat race.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Oh my God, neighbor's kid is doing this.
Yeah.
What will you do? The intention is correct. That, yeah. you know, once you become an adult, you shouldn't feel like a loser. You shouldn't feel like you lost out. You should be equipped.
Yeah.
Logic is correct. But then the goal that has been set, like, you know, you're a kid. Grow up, get a job, make lots of money, get married, have kids, get them married, let them get settled, then you fall down and die.
Yeah, all those expectations coming together and breaking the child down. So let's break these things now. As you've said, like children in their formative years from 0 to 6 get a lot of, keep a lot of things with them.
Huh.
So let's discuss something about, like, exams are coming up and people are, you know, parents are going to force their children get 90%, otherwise you won't get a college or all those things, even if you're in 10th standard or 12th standard. So how does a parent, or how does a child, let's discuss how does a parent, you know, get this balance where they don't want to, you know.
So, you know, this, I don't know if it's a problem related to parenting. I think it's a problem related to the systems we are a part of today. Now, the system is such where you are valued if you have a certain level of material success.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's what most of the parents have started equating with happiness.
Hmm.
If the parent does not carry any baggage of his or her own, the parent will be comfortable telling the child, "Beta, just go do your best and have fun while you're at
exactly.
it." But parents are carrying their own baggage. And before, I think the past 10, 15 years, too many people weren't speaking about mental health
exactly.
or respect for the child or exam stress. Now more and more people are talking about it. But the stress, you know, more than the child, I think, is on the parent. Because the parent is freaked out. Your performance as a child is a reflection on the parent's performance as a parent.
But does it really have to be like that? Like, if your child isn't successful, it's not basically your fault if you have done everything right.
Does society work like that?
Aapka
beta aisa, aapka beta udhar cigarette pi raha tha, aapki beti uske saath baat kar rahi thi. So that's what I'm saying. More than a parenting problem or an education problem, it's a problem of the social system we live in.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's this article I read, or in this book I read, The Geography of Bliss, and I think everybody must read that. It's a list of the 10 happiest countries in the world and the reasons why they're happy.
Yeah.
So there's this practice in the Netherlands where everyone goes and throws a failure party.
Yeah.
As in, if I've been trained to be an engineer, but I've decided to set up a hotel,
yeah.
I will set up a hotel, and then I realize I'm going bankrupt, I don't have money, it's failed. I throw a failure party and people come to celebrate my effort.
Yeah.
So that's a system, that's a social structure in place.
Yeah, this is one of the most important things as a society, mostly as an Indian society, that we need to learn, that we need to appreciate at least some effort that a child is putting, right? Not everything is based on results.
See, I would not say Indian society, but I would say the kind of society where value is placed on the group, what is called technically as a collectivist society, which is essentially most Asian societies.
Yeah.
If you're thinking that parents are putting a lot of pressure on Indian parents, put pressure on their Indian kids, you must read up on the parenting the Chinese parents
do. Yeah.
So it's a very Asian thing.
Yeah.
It's all about how much do you contribute to the group.
Yeah.
So if you're doing well, you're helping the entire community, the entire khandan, not just one or two people in the family. Whereas a more Western or a more individualistic culture is where you do what makes you happy. And if you're doing it without hurting anybody,
yeah,
that would be great.
That's one of those culture, yeah, like Western European culture mostly.
Western, what we call the individualistic culture. Individualistic culture. Not that that system is without flaws or ours is completely flawed. Both have their merits.
Yeah.
But both are in a transition phase. So we are in a phase where this collectivist mentality helped earlier. So I think, you know what, this is going to, I don't want it to sound political, but our ancient cultural system was sophisticated, was rock solid, was on the dot when it came to life, how life should progress. Then we started adopting a lot of the Western modes of living, understanding and processing life. And what has happened? We are neither here nor there. So we are strongly collectivist as a nation. We have a lot of group thinking habits. And yet the individual manifestation of it is in the Western culture, as in you have to study in a particular way, you have to pursue a particular path.
Yeah.
And then we got stuck at a point. We didn't progress.
Yeah, like as an evolutionary species, it's very important to know a path, because people earlier didn't used to know what was a good path to the river. You might encounter an animal, right? So paths are really important, but as you said, like the paths, evolution of paths has stopped, I think. There's a right, safe way to do things, and that has been the safe way since like a century now. Get a job, earlier it was a government job, now it's being an engineer or a doctor. And that is being pressured too much on a society, which has affected so many children. I don't want to like give responsibility back to the whole responsibility to the parents, but I think it's a lot of pressure. Like my parents never gave me pressure, any kind of pressure. But later I realized that they had some ambitions of me, but they never expressed it. But it helped me a lot. It helped me discover what I really wanted to do. And I'm here right now sitting in front of doing this, right? A lot of people can't do that. And that is something I think that we need to improve as a society.
That's true. And a lot of parents will say, let my child do whatever he wants, but let him finish MBA. Then let him do what he wants, or let him finish engineering.
Yeah. So but till then, the child is already, most of them are already broken to do something else that they want as their passion.
So there's this famous psychologist, used to be this famous psychologist called Abraham Maslow.
Yeah.
And he said, everyone is born creative and then education ruins it.
Exactly, it ruins it. Of course it
so
ruins it.
So I think parents, not entirely to blame, but I think parents are responding to a system that they are a part of.
Yeah.
And your generation actually has it particularly luckier than we did, because we were only art, science, commerce, these three streams.
Exactly.
You have opportunities and options that my generation didn't have.
Yeah.
It just takes a little bit of bravery on the part of the person involved and on the part of the parents.
Yeah. But like, as you said, like this generation has so much more. Even if you're doing a job that your parents told you to do, you have time left. You have at least some time you can take off your week, work week, to do your passion project. So I think this is something really important that people should remember, that even if you're stuck somewhere, you can come out of it. You just need to put a little effort. There are so many opportunities. Your phone can do so many amazing things now that like 15 years back you couldn't. So that's something really good. Now let's get back to the discipline part. So have you heard of PUBG?
Yeah, I have some of my students who are also researching it. You tell me, you think it's a good thing?
So I'll tell you from my experience, I'm particularly addicted to PUBG. I was at least a month back now. I've not stopped, but it's not that much. But of course, I was really addicted to it. One of the biggest positives of PUBG is that you can meet your friends while not being there, which is different from calling them, right? You're not actually having a conversation with them, but you're playing a game and chatting with them. That is, I think, one of the most important thing that people find attractive to PUBG, because they are real people who you are doing it, who you are playing up with. So I think that is one of the most addictive part of PUBG for players. So that is, I think, that is why everyone is involved into it, because you can play with someone who's sitting right next to you and someone sitting in another city, which was only available on PC earlier. So now it's when it's become so mobile. That is why I think it's become such a big revolution. Now people are coming up with competitions with a prize pool of 1 crore. If you're watching that competition, you definitely want to get in there, right?
But I have a question.
Yeah.
It's great that you get to interact.
Yeah.
That seems to be the normal standard statement which everyone is saying.
Yeah.
how much do you want to interact?
Yeah, exactly. That is what I'm saying. That limit, once that interaction gets over, your mind is still there and you want to play. You want to. You get a satisfaction. I think you get the best dopamine rush when you kill someone in the game.
Correct. So the reward centers in your brain are being activated for activities which are not sensitizing you and making you move towards your greatest potential as a human being.
It is hindering your progress. Huh. You can't call it an entertainment if you do it like 30 minutes a day. But I've seen people doing it in offices, while in breaks, even stopping their work to play it because someone wants
to
leave.
That's where the problem is.
That is why I think government is banning and all those things.
So moderation is the key in every aspect.
Yeah.
And we just spoke a few minutes ago about how we should not succumb only to materialistic goals.
Hmm.
But then you're telling me there's a 1 crore ka prize money in it.
Yeah.
What is 1 crore ka prize money? It's a materialistic goal.
Exactly.
At the cost of your well-being.
Yeah.
So when the material goal has been set with reference to a format which is acceptable to the youth, then it's fine. But when the same material goal comes at the end of a process which is not acceptable to the youth, then we question the system.
It's a big hypocrisy from our side too.
From every side.
So
some places where the generation, where the younger generation is still learning, some places where the older generation is learning.
From what I was trying to say is that since the internet is so accessible right now, you can easily go on YouTube and so many people have started streaming, right? Recently, this player who just streams the game had 1 million subscribers in December. Now he has 2.5 in just 3 months.
Hmm.
So that's the kind of growth that people are seeing. And while I play also, I see so many players wanting to open their own channels. So I think people who are not able to get that satisfaction or success from their point of view, they want to do something online. This is one of the simplest things that they think that they can do.
Hmm.
But it is as difficult, I think more difficult than actually pursuing a course and getting a job.
Hmm.
I think it's more difficult opening your own YouTube channel and creating your content. But people see it's easier because it's more accessible and more fun, right?
Hmm.
They're like, I only have to play a game, right? But it's not the case.
Correct. And I don't know if even opening a YouTube channel is that difficult. Probably getting ads on it would be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Getting
the
subscribers also, you can pay off and you know there are agents which will help you get the subscribers. That also works. But then what I understand, coming from the perspective of mental health, what allows a human being, a life form, to be at its best or to be at its most peaceful? It's when you have fulfilled your potentialities.
Yeah.
And not by joining the rat race, but just by sometimes you may just be content being, not doing anything, you know, as you say, just chilling and doing nothing.
Yeah.
What's wrong? So either I'm slogging it out in the conventional sense or I'm slogging it out in the online format.
Yeah.
Yes, internet is accessible.
Yeah.
But let's talk about things which are not going to be accessible very soon, at least for your generation and your kids' generation. Clean air, clean water. Where should you be actually? Because those are problems we guys have created for y'all.
Yeah. And you need to solve those issues.
So, yes, you're getting the high. And the fact that you're getting the high from the easy way out shows that your growth is stunted.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, growth comes with challenges. Growth comes with facing a difficulty. Just looking tired.
This is too hot here. Uh-huh. So, let's get back to the parents thing. So, how does... if you're getting too much dopamine high from playing PUBG, how does a parent make it, shouting on the kid, I don't think it'll affect anyone. You can just take the mobile outside and play outside your home, right? How does a parent make it, rewarding for a child to play PUBG or any other game format, for example, and do not stop their own growth? Like, I'm living away from my parents, firstly, so that is a different issue. I'm talking about people who are in their school. And I've seen a lot of, when I watch these channels, there are a lot of school people who are watching these videos because they keep commenting, like, I have exams, stream at this time, stream at that time. So there are a lot of school kids between the age of, I think, 14 to 18 who are just into PUBG at the moment. I don't see this going away because the tournament that I was talking about, it just happened right now. And I don't think it's going away for a year or two. So for a year or two, stopping your growth and just being into... And these YouTubers, they stream for 4 to 5 hours every day. And they're at least 10 big YouTubers. So imagine you have 50 hours of content to watch in 24 and everyone is watching everyone. Mm. So how does a parent make it more rewarding to either watch or play or, you know, even use mobile? There's a social media aspect that is different, that people are addicted to social media. Let's stick to PUBG. And how does a parent make it more rewarding for child to play PUBG and like concentrate on studies, for example?
Based on what you're saying, I think exams are actually a good idea. Maybe yeah. because there are exams, kids will at least start studying.
Yeah.
At least at the nth hour. So also the other question is, why do parents have to make it rewarding? Why is it that if I want you to do the right thing, I have to reward you for it?
Yeah.
That can't be the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And if I have to make things rewarding for a 16-year-old, then it's already half the battle lost. So the, like I said, the earliest year, 0 to 6,
yeah.
that's when you build your greatest bond with your child. That's also the time when your brain is developing the fastest.
Okay.
By the time you're 6, 90% of your brain is developed.
Yeah.
The remaining 10% is by the time you're 23 or 25. Okay. So now, the investment the parent makes in a child during those early years in establishing what we used to call the value system.
Yeah.
Or helping the child understand that, you know, there will always be temptations. At this age now, it is PUBG. You're going to grow up, start making your own money. There's going to be clubbing. There's going to be some other activity. So distractions and temptations will always be there.
Yeah.
The parent does not have to focus on how to keep my child away from PUBG and in studies.
Okay.
The parents' big picture thinking has to be, how do I make my child recognize what is best for him and then give him the strength to follow that path?
Yeah.
That is the training. And that training cannot happen at 15 and 16.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing process.
Okay.
And it's not something which happens through disciplining. It happens through the way the parents live their own lives. So if I, as a parent, am working mad hours and coming back and bitching about my boss and talking about how horrible the city is and the roads and things like that, and then I expect my child to completely understand and process life like the next Buddha, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So the parents are the living embodiments. They have to be the role models for the child. And this is a big ask. I accept completely. It is a big ask. But then why have a child if you're not ready to do all this? Have a child and understand that it is not just... In fact, all my parenting workshops, I want... This is a question I ask all of them.
Yeah.
Why did you have a child? Hmm. And most of the time, it's because it's the done thing.
Yeah.
You just have to...
I think
you
just said rule that once you get married, you have to have a child.
Ah, you know, you get married. 1 year later, the people will ask you, ek saal ho gaya, nothing happening, nothing happening. So, if you're... That's why I come back to this. This is another life form. And the investment you make in this life form could make this life form into the next Mother Teresa, or into the next Virapan, or into the next Saddam, or into the next, you know, whichever character you want to bring out. Because the child is not born with all this data. That's the data you're going to input.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a right way in terms of how the parent should reward the child to do the right thing regarding to PUBG. I think it's an ongoing process where the parent has to learn what the child is all about and be the facilitator in the child's progress.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful saying which goes like this: children are born through parents, not to parents.
Yeah.
It means parents are just the medium.
Yeah.
Kids will go out there and do their own thing. And at the end, the parents have to just give one message to the kids that whatever you do, no matter how badly you mess up, I'm here to pick you up and I will do this consistently. And the child has to get from this the fact that, okay, I am loved and cared for so much. That means I shouldn't take advantage of the love that I'm being given.
Yeah. So, like we discussed, PUBG is a big addiction now. You can't do much about it, sorry, but...
Yeah, that seems to be like that. People are talking, PUBG is the addiction today, tomorrow it'll be something else. When Facebook started, people were talking about Facebook itself. So that's what the problem is, not... These are what you call symptoms.
Yeah.
The problem, the root of the illness is something else. Right. Is the distraction and the fact that the child, most children today, most humans today, have the sense of vacuum they feel within themselves.
I know, yeah.
That's
this is one of the biggest issues, like as you mentioned before, if you want to just sit and chill alone, you can't with your own mind. You have to keep constantly doing something. And I think one of the biggest solution to this problem is if you have a small goal that you want to achieve every day, they'll keep you from, you know, getting distracted every time.
That's one of the strategies that can help. For sure it can help. It can help. I think if there was one thing I would want everyone to do on a daily basis as they move towards being fulfilled individuals, every day sit quietly with your eyes closed for at least 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Now that's a big ask. Start with 1 minute, move up to 25, but sit alone quietly.
That's the mindfulness.
Mindfulness is one of
practicing mindfulness. Yeah,
mindfulness is not purely that.
Okay,
it's also about focusing about this activity is about focusing on your breathing.
Yeah,
it's focusing on yourself, getting to know yourself well also.
Yeah, there like there are even apps who help you all.
Fair, but I would suggest keep the apps out. Oh. Build yourself, because you're, that's again a dependency. Your greatest anchor, your greatest dependency has to be yourself.
Yeah.
As long as you are dependent on something else or somebody else, the remote control of your life is with that somebody else.
Yeah.
Take it back, claim your life, reclaim your life,
yeah,
and let your remote control be with you.
Great. So we discussed about individualistic culture in the West and community culture in the Asian countries, mostly in the East. So what I've seen till now, there's a, like, I would say I'm like very privileged. So I'm sitting in front of you. I have all these equipments with me. I can buy all these things without my money. So even my circle is like this. And I sense a entitlement in terms of almost everyone is constantly complaining about trivial things. And they have this sense of entitlement which makes them unproductive, right? So in individualistic cultures, you would do things on your own, earn money, and like leave your parents and start doing things. In India, the sense of entitlement is there. You know that your parent is going to keep in sponsoring you. So how does a parent make sure that they make their child dependent, but not, you know, distance themselves emotionally?
I don't think the sense of entitlement is culture specific. Okay,
yeah.
So in the West, you will be doing things on your own,
yeah,
and then blowing up all the money on things that which may okay, not be helpful yeah, in the long run. It'll again be I mean myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it is a culture specific thing.
Okay.
Again, the sense of entitlement, I know it has a bad rep. Kids are supposed to be entitled and all of that. It doesn't come because the kid was born feeling that way.
Yeah.
The parents did things to the child which made this child feel entitled. No, ki beta, aapko ye nahi chahiye, aaj koi baat nahi, I'll make something else for you.
Oh,
whereas
yeah,
my generation was eat what's in front of you or sleep hungry. That
exactly
does not seem to be happening. So
yeah,
there is a pair. So it's not the generation which is just entitled. You became like that.
Yeah.
So John Locke used the concept of tabula rasa, which is a blank slate.
Okay.
So his saying was child is a blank slate.
Yeah.
Then there's data which is input on it, right?
Hmm.
So you weren't born entitled.
Yeah.
You became that way. So that's the first part. Parents, how their parenting affects the sense of entitlement or no. And secondly, irrespective of how entitled you feel, you have bigger problems to deal with. Your generation has bigger problems to deal with than ours. We just had to worry about making sure we had a pension coming for us at the end of our retirement.
Yeah.
You guys have to make sure you have a planet left for you at the end of your retirement. You have
yeah
to make sure the seas have not risen high enough. And it's not a very abstract problem, or it's
exactly
not a faraway problem.
It's a close problem which is being measured at constant
yeah
rate. And there's no sense of urgency anywhere that is being seen.
Uh-huh. And that is something which is going to come and trouble you guys, not
yeah
us. As we're all going to be off.
So, like, have you heard of Jordan Peterson?
This is?
He's also a psychologist.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
So, he talks about, instead of talking about collective responsibility, like in terms of climate change, he talks about individual responsibility, right? If everyone just stops throwing things out mm in the ocean, there'll be less things in the ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when this generation who constantly keeps marching around and hypocritically doing things that are affecting the planet,
mm.
So he talks about, like, instead of marching and doing all these things, you need to make sure that you are doing the right things.
Absolutely.
Your family, your parents are doing the right things.
Hmm.
That's if you do those things right and everyone is doing things right, then it won't affect the planet in the manner that it's affecting, right?
And the problem here is figuring out what's right.
Yeah.
If PUBG is paying you 1 crore to win the tournament, it can't be wrong.
Yeah. So one of the things, like one of the ways to become a good, effective parent is to, you know, at least know what your child is doing. If the child is doing something wrong, you have to take some measures. And especially in the age of adolescence, children are very reactive and they might want to do different things which are not good for them. So how do you believe in physical punishments, or, you know, giving hard punishments, or beating, not beating in the sense of like violence, but at least I think a slap is good for everyone. I've got slaps in my life. I used to like, you know, steal, I think coins of 1 or 2 rupees and buy chocolates. And the point was that stealing is the wrong thing, not the 1 or 2 rupee thing. But that got ingrained in me. I got a good beating. I think I was 8 or 9 year old. But I think it got ingrained in me, and now I'm not sure I would have become a criminal, but still, those values come to you, right? You remember those things.
Disciplining through physical punishment is a good question. Again, there are no 100% right and wrong answers.
Yeah.
Again, it's context specific.
Exactly.
Some kids require a little more insistence on the part of the parents.
Yeah.
But in all of this disciplining, what the parent has to remember is never attack the self-respect of the child.
Okay.
We teach our kids always respect your elders, but we don't seem to teach our elders respect your kids.
Kids
are born feeling, born helpless.
Yeah.
They are feeling powerless for the longest time. As a child, it takes you forever to get out of that that entire boundary where your parent holds all the power.
Yeah.
And in cultures like ours, our parents hold our power forever. Maybe
exactly.
the extent and the level of and the intensity may diminish over time.
Yeah.
But generally, there's just a lot of power they hold over us.
Yeah.
So in that space, the parent has to recognize that conveying a message, inculcating a value, there are techniques to do it where you don't have to attack the child's sense of self, child's sense of respect.
Yeah.
Those things shouldn't be done. But should I whack my child when he's putting his hand in the fire and I'm telling him not to put it? Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
If that will put the message across, please
do.
If you're going, there's a saying, no, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah.
Again, how much of an extreme will you take it to?
Exactly.
If I come from a culture where, like in my culture or my generation, if we got whacked by our parents, if we collectively made some drama or did some mischief, all of us got whacked by our parents, and then we would come back the next day and compare notes, how much did you get whacked and how much did I get whacked. It didn't affect my self-respect.
Exactly.
But now this entire thing is, oh my God, you've hit the child. Then there are some people who say hit the child anywhere, not on the face. So perhaps they're all right. I don't want to say anybody's right or wrong. I'm just saying there are no absolutes.
Yeah, there's this big spectrum wherein it says that, you know, a difference between beating a child, like whacking a child, giving a slap, is way different than, you know, actually beating a child and, you know, harming them or like affecting their, like, you know, how do I say this? Like, you can see signs of violence on child's body. You know, there are things coming up like domestic violence, wherein you kids are constantly being beaten up. So I think that's where that you know, point comes, wherein you should not beat your child because children are getting affected so much. You know, mostly not, let's not classify, but mostly in poor areas where you get to see those cases, violence cases. I think that's where it comes from.
That's true. Physical violence and how much is right and how much is not right is going to differ. I may think as a parent, it's perfectly fine to whack my child once in a while. My child may not think it's right.
Yeah.
So there will be no right point there. Along with the physical abuse, what parents seem to forget is the verbal abuse.
Oh.
So the pain somebody experiences, you know, when their heart is broken or when... So, neurologically, again, if you burn your hand, the kind of pain that gets registered on your brain is the same kind of pain if you've had dropped some hot coffee or if your girlfriend's dumped you. And I hope not.
Yeah.
But either ways, the pain is the same. So if that's the if there's verbal abuse inflicted on the child, I may not raise my hand on my child at all. But if I'm saying things which are constantly hurtful to the child... And if my child has been brought up in such a way that the child feels affected by every negative feedback that comes his way,
then
I'm not good.
You have to be a bit conscious about it.
Then it's going to affect the child for sure. Do not hit the child ever is not a suggestion I would make.
Yeah. The point on verbal abuse, like constantly parents are seen bashing their children on their dreams, on their ambitions, like you should not go to this path because of course it's unsafe, it's unproven, and they're right on their part, but I think it gets a lot of people get affected when parent constantly keeps bashing them that you should not be doing this thing and what happened to your marks. Constantly, like, I think it's called helicopter parenting, where you're constantly hovering around your child. What are you doing? Where did you go? You get 7 phone calls a day because you've not come home on time, or all those things. And that kind of affects the child, you know. They want to do bad things or might want to lash out just because their parents are so protective of them.
Now, let me also ask you a question. What can we do to make children less sensitive?
Less sensitive?
Yeah, I mean, does everything affect them? Like, how can
I... I'm not one of those people who's extremely sensitive.
Was the difference to you?
One of the reasons, that my friends used to make a lot of jokes were like, you're like adopted child, because they never used to call me, or, you know, every one of my friends used to get a call. I never used to get a call. I used to go home and talk to my parents, and it was chill going out, coming late. I think that way, they were never negligent, as you call it, negligence parenting. They were never negligent. They knew everything about me, but they never used to pester me on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And now I remember that, yeah, they never used to pester about anything at all in terms of letting marks. They used to support for one of the biggest things, where they used to support me in everything. I was good in sport, not best, but good in sports, good in extracurricular activities. I used to take my own decisions in everything.
So, and if you made a mistake in your decisions, then what? If you took the wrong decision?
Yeah, of course. As a child,
did they come back and attack you for it?
No.
So you have an example that you can build a person to help him or her choose the right way.
Even when I failed my exams, I think I failed my 2 exams in 11th. And I just told them my marks, and it was nothing. Like, not even a reaction, like, why did you fail?
That's like, those are secure parents. They know the parenting they've given you. They are secure in the knowledge of what they have given you and the kind of person they have produced.
Yeah.
And that, I'm sure you understand, takes a lot of time, energy and effort.
Yeah.
It's not the money. At the end of the day, it's not whether you've given your child a private room.
Yeah.
Your child could be sleeping on the floor in the only bedroom, which is being shared by 4 other people. It's not the material. There is something else. The trust that your parents had in you, and the value you were taught to give that trust.
Yeah.
Which is why I say it's an ongoing process. You come to me with a child at 15 and say, my child is pregnant now. I can't do anything because the child didn't get pregnant today.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, yes, but it is a series of events which has happened.
Yeah.
Which has led to the child taking a decision. And then again, do you want to attack the child for that? Because kids think they're adults by the time they're 14, 15.
Exactly. They want to make their own decisions and they think that this is right and it might not.
Correct.
It won't be wrong at all. But I also think it's the difference between, like, the parenting could be different within the siblings itself, right? One sibling might be better, like, in terms of studies, that he might not get that pressure, other might not. Like, I think that might also be the case. But
that is also there.
Ultimately,
no?
The values are, I think, the same.
Sometimes
the treatment might differ, but the values are same.
So that is also one reality, that the first child is always handled differently than the next child.
Exactly.
Because you're a lot more careful with the first child, and it's a judgment on you as a parent. By the time the second child comes around, you're like, okay, fine, yaar. Sambhal lega types. You know, you're not that worried. So there will be a difference in the way each of them is treated. There will be also an important dynamic, because the first child may not have another child his age to look up to, so has grown up more with adults. The second child has someone his age to look up to or to model himself on, and so his influence will be affected, or the influences in his life are affected by all the. There is a difference in the way parents treat all their children. They love that all those fancy dialogues, you know, I have 2 kids, they are both one eye each, how can I love one more than the other? I get it, that's a very difficult question to ask any parent, but there will always be one child who gets you more than
exactly.
the other child, and the same way there'll always be one parent who gets you more. It has more to do with human relationships.
I think it's just easier to accept the fact that you are treated differently, and it's not because of you, it's because of
situations,
right? It's not because of you. A lot of people get affected because of this. As you said, like, he's loved more than me. That kind of
sensitivity,
things.
Not too sensitive.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it when you can, if you know how to. But the simple fact is, your mom may have been a certain age when she had the first child.
Yeah.
Different age when she had the second. Circumstances are not the same. Experiences are not the same. And then demanding 100% the same behavior is unfair on the part of the child.
Yeah.
The demands made by the child are no less.
Exactly. So before we end this conversation, let's just acknowledge that Article 377 has been abolished, and there are gay lesbian parents who might come up. So is the same sex at the end who's together parenting a child? They might only have one perspective. What are your thoughts on gay parenting?
My thoughts on gay parenting are the same as that on any kind of parenting.
Okay.
Two adults bringing up a child. If the process goes right,
yeah,
if there is a lot of healthy, happy, humor-filled upbringing,
yeah,
the outcome will be a healthy person. Whether it is gay parenting, whether it is single parenting, whether it is children from blended families or broken families,
yeah,
they are different. Sometimes they are viewed differently by their peers and by society and even,
yeah,
by relatives.
Yeah.
So what makes the child capable of handling that?
Hmm.
It depends on the two adults who are playing the primary role in that,
yeah,
child's life. So it could be two same-sex adults, two heterosexual adults.
Yeah.
But how are you bringing up the child?
Yeah.
That is most important.
I think the child only looks up to the feedback or the response of their parents more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
They value their parents' feedback more than
anything
in the
else.
World.
Absolutely.
And parents need to realize that their words are extremely important. How do they handle their child is also extremely important.
Yes. Very true. Very true.
So let's conclude the conversation.
Sure.
What is your advice for a good, happy, balanced family? You know, there's no ideal family, as you said at the start of this conversation. But how do you think a parent and the child can come together, collaborate and make a good environment wherein there's good communication, there's good discipline? And how does a parent play the bigger, being the parent, of course, play the bigger part in this? How do they improve being a better communicator, being a better love giver and less disciplined?
Okay, I will focus on how the parent can be a better human being and the child can be a better human being. Why I would specifically focus on this is it's a role that they're playing.
Yeah.
One of the roles, one of the most crucial roles of their lives, or the,
yeah,
most crucial role. But in order to successfully carry them out, one, kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness in thought, word and deed.
Yeah.
So even if I want to whack you now because you're my child, I can choose to not whack you now and still give you one more chance and say, it's okay, let me see. And or I can whack you, but do it with so much of kindness that you can recognize and separate the act from the emotion. The other thing, which somehow is a little difficult to explain, because somehow we Indians don't have it.
Okay.
Humor.
Oh.
We just don't know how to laugh at things.
Yeah.
Everything is like so dramatic. I don't know if you've been seeing this video doing the rounds of one mother-in-law, I think, who's slapping their daughter-in-law and she goes round and round and round and round and she gets tangled up in the curtain.
Curtain, yeah, yeah.
That is an excellent example of where we are. So we just have forgotten how to laugh. We've forgotten how to have fun. We've forgotten how to laugh, more importantly, at ourselves and say, oh my God, I made a mistake and how,
yeah,
foolish of me. It is not the death of me if I laugh at myself or if I'm a joke, right?
Exactly.
It's just something which has made someone laugh.
Something that you mentioned earlier, like Netherlands celebrating the failure party.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Just have fun.
Yeah.
If you can bring humor into your life, you can kill any conflict. Even this loaded conflict between a husband and wife. So be kind, be humorous. And the two adults, same sex or different sex, bringing up the child, they need to be on the same page. If they are not on the same page, please keep your conflict out of sight, out of earshot for the child. Let the child,
yeah,
not know that you all are on two different pages. You should come to the child as a team. I think this would be fair enough. We'll go a long way if we can just do these things.
Oh, thank you so much.
Most
I think
welcome.
When people hear this, mostly parents, they try to be more effective parents. And if children who are entitled like us, way too privileged, learn some things and stop playing PUBG for once.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thank you.